and welcome once again to The Blueprint. This is Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, for the Lakes, Brock, with new content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We do appreciate you joining us today. If you can't watch or listen to it right this moment, download it later on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it, it is out there. And together, we can push back against the ever-moving Liberal agenda. If you help us, like, subscribe, comment, share this program. And again, you will reach someone in your social media network that might not be open, be open to hearing the conservative message that might not be getting it from the mainstream media. And of course, with this new content, we have some pretty important stuff to talk about. We're bringing back Kelly McCauley, a good friend of the show, Member of Parliament for Edmonton West. Thanks for coming back.
Pleasure, Jamie. Thanks for inviting me. It's been a while since I've been here. I think the last time I was here, we weren't doing video. It was just pure podcast.
Well, that's because you overdressed for the occasion, but so we have to limit your appearances.
I took my tie off when I saw that you were wearing a hoodie.
Well,
hey, you know. Listen, congratulations on your election victory last month. Congratulations on 6 years anniversary today on your first election victory. Well done.
Likewise, you too as well. It's been great serving with you as the newbie class once, I guess, for the veterans now. I guess that's pretty scary. Yes. But of course, you know, I have enough. My hair's not going gray yet, but we're working on it. Pretty shocking news today. Pretty shocking news today on a Black Lux Reporter. They did a comparison of food prices. Of course, inflation is at 4.1%. It's highest in 20 years, and they compared food prices from August of 2020 to August of 2021. I'll go over some of what they found. It's pretty shocking here. Newfoundland and Labrador, the price of a whole chicken rose 35%. Absolutely incredible. Prince Edward Island, chicken breasts went up 29%. Broccoli, 25%. In Nova Scotia, butter, 42%. It's up. Beef strip loin, up 12%. New Brunswick, hot dogs up 8%. We've seen pork loin 13%. Apples 15% increase. Quebec beef stew, it went up 10%. A liter of cream went up 16%. Oranges 17%. I can keep going if you want. It just shows hot dogs in Ontario 15%. Bacon in Ontario 19% increase. Manitoba butter up 10%. Ground beef 16%. Your province of Alberta yogurt up 6%. Bacon up 15%. Apples up 16%. Out in British Columbia, we're looking at butter up 12%, ground beef 15%, whole chicken 16%, and the list goes on. That's pretty incredible stuff.
It's pretty depressing when you think about it. And what you have to keep in mind, these are August numbers. Most updated inflation numbers are going to come out tomorrow, I think, due out tomorrow. These are August, and this is before the energy shock has made its way through the supply chain. So the high gas prices and high energy prices that add to every step of the production, delivery, retail price has not made its way through the pricing yet. So I think we're going to be in for a bigger shock tomorrow and a month from now as these things cascade through the pricing system. If it's bad now, wait until truck drivers have to start paying, you know, $1.50 a liter.
Well, I think the some reports, at least in the States and some in the Canadian media, have already started to prepare people for higher natural gas prices this upcoming winter.
Yeah, well, it would be good for Alberta's bottom line, but I've seen everything with from 400 to 500% increase over last year. We've got shortages, of course, around the entire world, and the shortage in shortage in North America. So we will see a big spike that way. People are going to have to be paying a lot more to heat their homes and paying a lot more carbon tax on that fuel as well.
And let's think about what we've done. Okay, so we've been spending. So the government of Canada through the central bank basically printed $400 billion in the last year and a bit. We're spending $424 million per day, more than what we have. Couple that with the fact from 2015 to almost the present, the federal government has done everything to stifle our energy industry, one step after another. We're regulating our ports like none other. We've stopped the production of pipelines, our ability to transport our energy from one end of the country to the other, all been hampered one after the other. And now We're seeing the effects. We're seeing what happens when government gets in the way of actual productivity.
No, and I think consumers are going to pay the price for this, whether it's lack of pipelines down to the states, lack of pipelines east-west. It's adding to the bottleneck, adding to our prices and adding to our pain. What is remarkable is the Liberals have done everything with the help of the NDP and their power to stop the growth of our energy industry, our ability to make money. But at the same time, we've seen, you know, skyrocketing exports of coal out of Vancouver, of all places, to China. And despite everything they've done, you know, oil is the industry of the past, et cetera. If you look at various websites, what has been driving Canada's recovery right now from COVID, it is the export of energy. It's twice the size of car manufacturing exports, more than all of our, almost all of our exports combined. The last 4 months, we've seen trade surpluses growing due to oil and gas exports. At the same time, we've got a Liberal government determined to destroy this industry and stamp it out. But this is the industry that is creating the wealth, creating jobs for Canadians. It's mind-boggling. At the same time, of course, we're bringing in oil from the U.S. or Saudi Arabia. Prices exploding, but here we have a government doing everything possible to add to the cost that Canadians are burdened with.
And we've also, I know during the pandemic when it first started, Parliament unanimously supported a lot of these relief packages. But what the Liberals have done, and you've done a lot of investigating on this as well, they've also pushed a bunch of other spending into this kind of the language of COVID, right? They that has nothing to do with COVID, that has just gotten out of control. Hence why we're having this big, massive problem on where we're going to get the money. Taxation, borrowing, or printing. You can do one or the other. You can do a combination thereof, but they do have consequences. You could debauch the economy, the currency, probably both at the same time. And we're starting to see that happen.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, borrowing is just simply, printing debt is just basically creating a future tax. This money, despite what people will say, has to be paid back sometime, and it's paid back in higher taxes. It also, of course, leads to our inflation, which is kind of a hidden tax on Canadians. 4%, we are not seeing a 4% increase in OAS. Canadians aren't seeing a 4% increase in wages, but we're certainly seeing a 4% increase across the board. And I don't believe that 4% actually includes the increase from energy costs. I think that's that 4% is outside of that breadbasket. So we have kind of a hidden tax of inflation caused by these Liberal policies, but also a future tax that's going to be borne by our children and our grandchildren, either in higher taxes or a much lower standard of living. We've seen some decent job numbers come out recently that our employment's back to where we were pre-pandemic, but we still have the Bank of Canada planning on printing, basically, or buying government bonds, $100 billion worth a year. They've talked about maybe reducing it from $2 billion a week to $1 billion a week, but that's still, even if they do reduce it, that's still an extra $52 billion that they're putting into the market or into the economy. That, according to maybe some of these job numbers, is not all required. Certainly some industries haven't required fully, the restaurant industry, hotels, some tourism. But by and large, just opening the floodgates that the Liberals have been doing for the last while, I don't think is the solution. It was Bank of Canada did a survey, and the experts, they've said they've priced into the bond market, they're expecting 3 rate hikes over the next 12 months. Do you think what that's going to do to any mortgage holders, anyone trying to buy a house, anyone who's paying for a house or a car, addicted to the low interest rates? Well, this inflation is going to force rate hikes. And the Bank of Canada survey shows people are expecting 3 rate hikes in the next 12 months. Canadians are going to pay.
Absolutely. I think there's some on the left that believe that if you just print more money, you have more money and life is good.
Yeah,
of course, right? But it is, like you mentioned, the backdoor tax that some people don't see until it's too late. When we went through the list at the beginning of the program of some of the inflationary pressure, and like you mentioned, the natural gas, the energy that hasn't, but every dollar that's in circulation, it buys less. Like your savings aren't worth as much. It really is something that you don't really see at the beginning, but once it gets there, you all of a sudden realize that my shopping cart isn't as full as it once was, and it costs me a lot more.
Yeah, no, very much. And who is it that can least afford all of this? Our lower income folks, people on fixed incomes, are going to the grocery store, going to the gas station, getting their cell phone bills. Everything is going through the roof, but not their wages, not their pension money, not their support. It's not a recipe for a healthy economy or a healthy society.
So we have Parliament going back, I guess, November 22nd, which is absolutely incredible.
This year?
Yeah,
this year.
It almost seems like Justin Trudeau does not want to work at all. November 20th, we have crisis after crisis in this country. And Justin Trudeau just does not want to get back to work. No. We should be dealing with this in Parliament on a strategy forward. Yeah. In my opinion, it doesn't include more government or more regulations or you know, trying to cure cancer with more cancer. No. We should be coming up with solutions that can bring down the affordability levels, get the spending under control, and restore some sanity to Ottawa.
Yeah, very much. I think Parliament should be sitting. And you said November 22nd, but keep in mind that's only for one day to choose a new speaker and then their own speech. Then the Liberals will probably break again for maybe one day in December. So we won't be really meeting in the House probably till the end of January. So that could be, you know, 6-7 months between the election and we're actually sitting. And by delaying this, it also stops the committees from reforming. So the Finance Committee, the Ethics Committee that has spent so much time studying the corruption within the Liberal government, whether it's the WE scandal, the SNC scandal, none of those committees will be working until the House sits properly, which we could see maybe till February. So again, yes, we've got an inflation crisis on our hands. We've got fourth wave of COVID going on. We've got international problems, whether it's Afghanistan, dealing with Chinese aggression. And here we have the priority of the Liberal Party is sending the Prime Minister off to Tofino to go play in the water instead of actually working for Canadians. I find it frankly disgraceful. And I don't think there's a kinder word for it than that. The country, you know, we just went through an urgent election that had to be called right away. And now we're happy just to sit with basically a caretaker government with bureaucrats behind the scenes playing away instead of the government.
Yeah,
heaven forbid when the government does get back, we've got a prime minister who says he's not interested in monetary policy.
Well,
no
wonder
we've got inflation out of control.
He was very clear about that on the campaign.
The Bitcoin people are probably ecstatic, but you know, everyday Canadians, are in for a rough time.
Yeah, those trying to run away from government's manipulation of the currency or rushing to different sources of currency, like the cryptocurrency. But it does go to what we talked to. You mentioned at the beginning from 2000 to 2015 2019, when the government had a balanced budget and immediately turned on the tap, started spending. What did we spend most of the time on? Hey, by the way, you don't need to, you know, fire up the credit card yet. Bad times might come because they always do. We should be saving, paying off some debt and preparing for this. Of course, Justin Trudeau had no looks at that kind of avenue, but just started firing up the credit card, piling on the debt. And of course the pandemic happened and we were caught off guard. We were in our wiggle room went down. And here we are, as you mentioned, issuing bonds, the Bank of Canada buying them with basically printed money. And here we go.
Yeah, well, it's continued lack of seriousness of this government. I believe everything they're doing is form of virtue signaling. They're happy to go out and make an announcement, but actually getting things done, oh, we'll leave that for other people. And nothing seems to be getting done, like billions and billions of spending. If we were building hospitals with it or this and that, yeah, it'd be all for that. But it's money that just seems to flow out the door without any, you know, oversight. We heard, you know, billions, $20 billion of wage subsidies went to companies whose market capitalization increased half a trillion. Like one of my favorites was taxpayers gave Lululemon hundreds of millions in wage subsidies. At the same time, their market capitalization, their stocks went up so much, they're up to $45 billion of value. We subsidize communist Chinese state-owned banks, communist Chinese state-owned airlines. We subsidize hedge fund managers. Instead of finding those really in need, perhaps the small restaurants, the hotels, whose staff were struggling to stay open, oh no, we're not going to help them. But they throw the money out to all these others, and it defies logic, you know, what they're doing.
Well, it does,
but maybe it just comes back to they're not as serious. They're just not serious.
But I think they actually define success as the amount of money they're spending.
Very much so. It's funny, one of their own independent senators had commented about that on their infrastructure spending, the historic once in a generation, $120 billion infrastructure that they talk about so much. Report came out, their only measurement of success was how much money they could spend, not how many roads built, how much productivity was improved, how many jobs created. Their measurement for success was how much money could they spend, which is great if you're a drunken sailor, but if you're a government handling taxpayers' money, well, you know, it's not such a great thing.
Well, even the infrastructure minister, the former infrastructure minister, Catherine McKenna, didn't her department lose track of tens of thousands of infrastructure projects, couldn't figure out where the money actually went?
Very much so. The parliamentary budget officer couldn't figure out where it went. Auditor general's trying to find the money. The Senate committee couldn't find where it went. You know, one of my favorite examples is start of COVID, the government gave an untendered contract to SNC-Lavalin, they of the lab scam fame, $150 million to build field hospitals. None of the hospitals got built, but they got the money. And we were asking, well, who asked for it? Was it the provinces were asking for help? Nope. Did public health agency ask for them? Nope. Well, who asked for these hospitals to be built? And the answer came back, well, public works. Well, who in public works? Well, it wasn't anyone, it was just public works. And it's like, well, I didn't realize that the Department of Public Works was some sentient being, like, perhaps like from the Terminator movies, but $150 million gift to a very liberal friendly company that was convicted for donating over $100,000 illegally to the liberals for field hospitals that no one asked for and never got built. But you can multiply this by 1,000 times when you look through the liberal spending. It's frightening.
Well, during the height of the pandemic, I think they paid a liberal-friendly firm for ventilators, something they had not actually even made before. It was new to them.
Yeah. To the famous Frank Bayless, money was given to his company for ventilators his company's never made before, but also for a design that had not been approved in any jurisdiction in the Western world or the civilized world.
That's amazing. And I think just recently, I remember reading, this is by memory, but I believe Todd Bayless actually sold his company for, I think it was well over $1 billion.
Sold it to a U.S. company for over $1 billion.
That's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, your money at work, folks.
This is a thing we talk about
so much as liberals looking after insiders. And it's very much, you know, what we're fighting against and very much why we need the committee sitting and why we need Parliament sitting and very much why Trudeau doesn't want Parliament sitting. Of course, there's the issue of the Winnipeg lab where the two Chinese scientists have been fired and walked out of the building, the investigation of that, where Parliament ordered the documents released and I think that was one of the big reasons Trudeau forced the early election. It killed, you wanted a majority parliament so you could override that parliament's ruling that they released those documents of what happened in the Winnipeg lab. And they actually went to court, first time in Commonwealth history that a government has gone to work or gone to court and basically sued the House of Commons to prevent the will of parliament.
And good for Speaker Anthony Rota standing up and saying, no, that parliament is supreme, or at least it should be.
Very much so, yeah.
Well, Kelly, we've got a bit over time, but this has been a very interesting topic. I always give the guests the last word. I'll turn the floor over to you.
Great. Well, I would just say to the folks in Edmonton West, thanks for trusting me again, and it's an honor to serve. And I have to say, it's been an honor to serve with you, Jamie. You're one of the brightest, best members of Parliament outside of Alberta.
Somebody wants to return to the show again. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Next time, don't dress as well. hope you've enjoyed the program. That was Kelly McCauley, Member of Parliament for Edmonton West. We do appreciate his participation and wealth of knowledge and the amount of work he has done in committee. He has uncovered some pretty scary stuff that the Liberals are up to. Lots of corruption. Just follow Kelly's work. Now, if you do like the content you just listened to or watched, please like, comment, subscribe, share this program. You're not getting this information out in the mainstream media, folks. We need your help to reach someone in your social media network that might be open to this. And of course, if you can't watch it all now, download it later on. Platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it, it is out there. We do appreciate your time. And because of that, new content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you so much. And always remember, low taxes, less governments, more freedom. That is the Blueprints.